This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Exodus from Houston is underway as J.J. Watt has signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson desperately wants out, but the team say they're not willing to trade the three-time Pro Bowl quarterback. CBS sports writer and former NFL agent Joel Curry on the standoff between the Texans and Watson.
Well, both teams seem to be firmly entrenched in their position. So at this point, I'm thinking this thing gets past the draft. He's not traded, and it's very easy, from my experience as an agent, for a player to talk tough in March and April, but come training camp time, when you have to start getting fined what is now $50,000 per day, mm-hmm. and in his case, the fines can't be forgiven, and then potentially if your holdout lasts long enough, they're able to recoup part of the prorated portion of your signing bonus, maximum of 5.4 this year, and then you start missing game checks if this continues, or if it goes to its logical extreme, you miss the whole season and your contract tolls. It's easy to talk tough now before you're actually losing a dollar. So I think if he's not traded by the draft, this thing is going to get very, very ugly. And one thing I wouldn't discount is the fact that you've got a new GM, and when there's a regime change, the new GM does not, or owner or head coach or whomever the person is, does not want to send a signal to the rest of the team and that you can stick a gun to his head and get what you want. But teams typically like to have a blanket rule, so that's something I would not discount as being a motivation for Nick Caserio.
CBS sports writer Joel Corey on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, heard weekdays 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on VSiN. Rams corner Jalen Ramsey on the Huddle and Flow podcast said that there's no real chance for the Texans to reconcile with his friend Deshaun Watson. The Texans are 100 to Super Bowl 56. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner. There are opportunities to bet which teams will the four number one seeds in the tournament be. On a numbers guide with Gil Alexander, Gil and Matt Cox of Three Man Weave agree that three of the four number one seeds are likely decided between Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan, all likely to be number ones. But the fourth number one could be a long shot from the American Athletic Conference in Houston at plus 400 to earn a number one seed.
I'm actually looking at Houston here. Plus 400, I'm seeing right now in the current updated odds. I think the Big Ten teams could cannibalize each other. Illinois and Ohio State, I believe, are probably in their best position as of today to take that four seed down. Illinois with a brutal close to their schedule. Obviously, the Big Ten tournament will be a gauntlet. Houston's just a team that I'm super high on. I don't see them losing in the American Conference tournament. I think they're right there on the cut line. I think they're at the 7 or 8 spot on the S curve. So you're going to need Illinois, Ohio State, and Iowa to all lose once, maybe twice, two of those teams losing twice potentially. And Alabama is the other team I think that's ahead of them right now in the updated bracket matrix curve. I think Houston's a good play though at plus 400.
Matt Cox of Three Man Weave on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, heard weekdays 10 a.m. to noon on VSiN. Cox likes Houston at plus 400 to be the fourth number one seed in the NCAA tournament. It's March, and that means it's time for the madness. Our VSiN experts are watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for the future Cinderellas to give you the betting edge heading into the tournament. Now is the time to start your free VSiN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Get ready for betting the madness. Sign up for your free trial of VSiN today at vsin.com/subscribe. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony DeZiri.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bring you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines in action. Beating the Book with Gil Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit VSiN.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Every day brings another opportunity to improve your sports betting knowledge, and the VSiN experts are working around the clock to give you the betting edge. Subscribe today to gain access to the full betting experience of our team of professional bettors, expert guests, and sportsbook insiders. Get the data and analysis you need to improve your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe and take your sports betting game to the next level.
Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the BetMGM Sportsbook of the MGM Grand in downtown Detroit. James Salinas, former Super Contest winner, joins us from Denver, Colorado. And at the VSiN Studios of the South Point on the Strip in Las Vegas, it's Adam Candy. And welcome into Betting Across America. The second hour, we're tracking a number of college basketball matchups today, a number of intriguing games. And Adam, get us up to date on what's happening right now in college basketball.
Well, in Iowa City, nobody is interested in scoring is what's happening right now. We've been locked on 56 all for quite a while, and I believe we're down under 6 minutes to play there as Iowa, who was a 7.5-point favorite here at close, playing without Joe Wieskamp, turned an ankle in the first half, didn't come back, one of their big scorers. They've been outscored 30-21 in the second half by Wisconsin. In Knoxville, Tennessee with a 61-52 lead over Florida. That, I believe, closed 5.5 here at the South Point in favor of Tennessee. Florida has put up 19, count them, 1-9 points in the second half of this game as Tennessee has come back from down double digits. Just about a minute left in that contest. Houston and Memphis, we are, let's see here, 64-61, Houston with the lead as I believe this game, boy, we must have hit quite the lull in this one as we've come all the way down under a minute with 125 points on the board. So, James, as long as we can avoid overtime, that live total will work out in your favor. Houston was a 10-point favorite, but, you know, we know where unders go to die. We know very well where unders go to die. So that's what we got going here right now in live college basketball.
There it is. Just as soon as you said it, I thought this one's going to overtime. We'll have to wait and see. 64-61, Houston in front of Memphis. And as you mentioned, Adam, in that Tennessee-Florida game, Florida was up at the break, 33-28. And as Adam mentioned, they have scored only 19 points in the second half, and they are getting blown out now in Knoxville. We've got a game that's about to tip off here in 2 to 3 minutes. It's a nationally televised game, Loyola and Drake in the Missouri Valley Conference championship game. Loyola, the 8-point favorite, Drake plus 290 on the money line. Drake 25-3 on the season. Joe Lunardi, Bracketology, has the Drake Bulldogs in the NCAA tournament, regardless of what happens today. In fact, in Joe Lunardi's Bracketology, he has Loyola winning this game as the automatic qualifier. So to him, this is a two-bid conference. Final thoughts on Loyola and Drake, James, in the matchup in the Missouri Valley Conference title game.
Well, and if that's the case, according to Lunardi, then the pressure to have to win this game as far as the urgency goes, knowing that normally in the Valley Conference tournament, champion is the only bid that gets in, or the at-large bid. Not an at-large bid. That's the automatic bid is the only one that gets into the tournament. So maybe I don't think the kids are going to be thinking about it this way, right? It's you made it all the way. It's the number one and number two seeds within the conference. Best teams there going to face off. Just unfortunate for Drake that they're shorthanded, yeah, with Hempel being out, but also with Penn being out, their point guard. I just think that that's going to be the difference over the course of 40 minutes. Both teams have the ability to lock you down defensively in the half court. It's not going to be a high-paced type of game, and as far as the Ramblers are concerned, they haven't given up more than 58 points to an opponent in their last 16 games, so defensively, they'll lock in, and I think for Drake, with those injuries offensively, it's going to be a struggle for them to score consistently for 40 minutes, not only because of the defense they're facing, but anytime you're going to lose your point guard and that is in charge of running your sets there, it makes it difficult. Yeah, you have guys rally for a game, you know, for a couple games to pick up the slack, and they've done that. But ultimately right here, I think it's a tough matchup. So the only play that I put on this game, Adam, was team total under 58.5 minus $1.05 and for Drake. I just think it's going to be a struggle to score today.
Agreed. And you look at the last time these teams met. I mean, this looked like a typo when you first look at it, but it went to overtime and Drake won 51-50. So even with an extra 5 minutes, they weren't able to top more than 51 points. So that team total that you're on today makes a lot of sense. Loyola Chicago could not miss from 3-point range in the first half yesterday. They were outstanding shooting the ball. I did not play anything in this game, but James seems to be on a good number there.
February the 13th, Loyola beat Drake 81-54. That was in Des Moines. That was the first of two back-to-back. And as Adam mentioned, in the second half of the back-to-back on Valentine's Day, it was Drake 51-50 over the Ramblers in the extra period. The Ramblers led by 10 late, but lose in the extra 5 minutes. Team total 58.5 is James Salinas' best bet on this one. Drake under. If you'd like best bets in your email daily, go to vsin.com/subscribe. Number 18, Texas Tech, visiting number 3, Baylor today, guys. In Waco, the Baylor Bears have won 24 of their last 25 games at home. They are a conference champion for the first time since 1950 when they won the old Southwestern Conference title. They are the Big 12 regular season champions. They're laying 8 against Texas Tech, James, a total 138.
Well, quick update. I'm still trying to I think I'm going to turn the TV off now. We talked about
I know what you're about to say.
Yes. Houston gave up. There was, 8 seconds left, last possession. Memphis, you know they need a three. Missed the three, bounces around. I don't know if it hit the top of the backboard, hit somebody's forehead. I don't know where it went. It ends up bouncing out well beyond the arc. Memphis fires one up. Desperation. If it doesn't go, game's over. Of course, it drains. It goes to the bottom of the net. Now the game is tied with 1.7 seconds, so they don't call it undertime like our buddy Wes Reynolds like to say. They call it overtime. And yes, this is where unders go to die. And so I forgot what game you were asking me about, Mike, but I think I'm going to go to adamcandy.com and look for those NBA defensive metrics, because now I think I'm going to end up having to chase some games and chase the All-Star game. Let's do that. So
yeah, fellas.
I got a little
All-Star.
Oh, wait a minute.
You got to be kidding me.
Houston wins.
James, you got out of it.
All right, I don't have to go to adamcandy.com.
I'm not going to chase the tournament.
Houston wins 67-67.
I don't know what happened. I'm sitting here trying to look back at whatever game you were asking me, and now I see just a big pile of Cougars laying on top of each other, and I guess if we could be patient for a second.
That is a midcourt heave.
Oh, wow.
It is. Oh, it's buckets. It's good. That's good. He got it off. The red light.
Let's,
off balance. And then the red light goes off. Count it. Good. There we go. It's never under until it's over. And yes, there it is.
There you go.
It is a final. Houston 67-64. Anthony Hardaway, Coach Hardaway, none too pleased, walks off the court. And there's some momentum going into conference tournament play. Good for the Cougars. Yep. What a battle! And all right, back on track. Here we go.
James Salinas?
What are we talking about again?
James Salinas, cash in tickets. Congrats. Look at there, 67-64. Houston on off-balance three at the buzzer to win it. It stays under the total, and James cashes a ticket. Congrats. Let's go to the Big 12. Number 3, Baylor, laying 8 at home at Texas Tech. Baylor, obviously, probably one of the number 1 seeds in the NCAA tournament. Senior day, they're a champion of a conference for the first time since 1950. Pretty good ball club. Your thoughts, James?
Absolutely. Baylor, especially now that they've had a few games. They had a pretty lengthy COVID break, too. And not only the COVID when you're not playing games, you're not practicing either. But in this case, for Baylor, you know, a lot of experience, especially at the guard position for that team. I like Baylor a lot. I love their guards. There's another group of kids that play with an edge to them and really competitive mindset about the Baylor Bears. And, you know, I don't have a play on this game, and I don't know if I'm going to play. I already have other plays in. I don't know if I'm going to to play anymore after seeing what happened there with the finish with Houston. I guess that's why we call it madness, and that's why everybody loves watching college basketball in the month of March, right? Just for crazy finishes just like that. But anyhow, as far as Baylor's concerned, it is their last game here. They are have a few games under their belt, and you know, played very well after they got their competitive legs back to them and their win back. Their competitive win, getting back out of the court and being able to beat West Virginia in a really competitive overtime game the other day. And then really, it just felt like they kind of toyed with Oklahoma State. I know the Cowboys were able to cover that closing number late in that game, but really that was Baylor's game from start to finish. So, you know, Texas Tech, they're locked into, I think they're the sixth seed, but ultimately they are locked into the first round bye for the Big 12 tournament coming up here. So, you know, what does that look like for them going here into this game? I mean, that's the complicated part, right? It's just so hard to tell to how extreme, how much energy, how competitive is this game going to be. These are the kind of games, Adam, kind of like what I've been doing this morning, right? More so playing in game. I do have some plays before the tip, but really those couple games that we played this morning, at least I played this morning, were in game plays, really just wanting to see where was the energy and the intensity, sometimes with the tempo as well. I think with this game here, if I'm going to play it, I don't have a side or a play on the total at this point, but Adam, if I'm going to play this game with Baylor and Texas Tech, I really just want to see where the energy is going to come from both teams. If I'm going to play it, it's going to be an in-game play only.
Well, I love the way you set up what this Baylor team has gone through, and I'm going to explain why that led me to hit this on the opener at 8 with Baylor. We saw the one loss for Baylor be against Kansas, and it came second game after their pause. They barely beat Iowa State. Then they lose to Kansas, and they caught Kansas at about the worst time of the year they could have caught the Jayhawks, when the Jayhawks seemingly defensively have figured things out. Then they hang on for that win at West Virginia. They beat a very good Oklahoma State team by 11, and I feel like Baylor is back going at full fire right now. On the other side, as much as I like Chris Beard as a coach and I love what he's been able to do with that Texas Tech program, I look up and down their schedule this year and I say, show me where the really good wins are for Texas Tech, because I don't think they've been competitive in the same way against the really quality teams in the Big 12. They have a good matchup against Texas, who was floundering there for a while, and they swept them. I don't really consider that the same way I would against one of the really top sides. Baylor won by 8 in Lubbock when they met earlier this year. I have a feeling that Baylor is going to come out today on that senior day looking to prove a bit of a point against the in-state Texas Tech side. Texas Tech could turn this into a slog. That's how it could stay inside 8, but I was comfortable laying it.
Texas Tech, the 8-point dog at Baylor that game in Waco. Texas Tech, to your point, Adam, 3-5 against top 25 opponents this season. Really, no signature victory to speak of there. Third-ranked Baylor, the favorite in Waco, 137.5 the total. It has been up to around 138 at certain spots, and it continues to move around a bit. That game, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, Baylor and Texas Tech. In the Pac-12 of the Gill Coliseum, a Civil War matchup between Oregon and Oregon State. It's the longest series in college basketball history. It's the 356 all-time meeting between the Ducks and the Beavers. James, Oregon laying 5.5 on the road. Another home conference dog, perhaps? Question mark?
Potentially. I'm looking, Oregon, pretty sure some of these things, we obviously with games being canceled and whether there's forfeits or however this works out with who actually gets the seed, I think if Oregon wins, and maybe Adam, you know better than I do, but I think if Oregon wins this game, then they clinch the number one seed. They win the Pac-12 regular season title. But that notwithstanding, it's still a rivalry game, right? This is still an in-state rival where the first go-around, that was a real, talk about a challenging schedule at the time for Oregon. They lost at home to those Beavers, but they didn't have Duarte. They didn't have Figueroa. Those two were not playing. It was in the sandwich. It was really a game sandwich between a COVID break before and then a COVID break right after for the Oregon Ducks. So back in January, really challenging time for that team. But yeah, absolutely. Now getting back, getting themselves right, how they've been playing the month of February, and put themselves in position to be able to clinch that top seed into the tournament here in a few days. But maybe so. I'm looking at the number. You have 5.5 out here. This is going to be, I think, for Oregon State. They just came off a really successful 3-game road trip. So coming back home now, yeah, it's going to be a different Oregon team that they're going to face this go around, but they're also going to be there in Corvallis. So having that said, I kind of lean maybe if this gets to 6, I might actually play that conference home dog. Going to be an exciting game to watch tonight, but I see the juice moving towards that number in favor of Oregon. So if it does get to 6, Adam, I might be playing the Beavers at home plus that number.
You will have me right there with you if it gets to 6. Wayne Tinkle's team has been competitive in the Pac-12 all year long. If you look down at what they've done over the last month, they have a bad loss at Colorado, but that doesn't exactly distinguish you in the Pac-12 this year. Colorado has been outstanding. They played a 4-point game against the same Colorado team at home. Other than that, they have 4 wins in their last 5 games against a Utah squad that has been much better in the second half of the Pac-12. I know Oregon, as you said, is playing for a championship. They would win it on winning percentage, though they've played fewer games than USC. But rivalry game at home with an Oregon State team that has been competitive all year long. If that gets to 6, I will join James in taking some of, and now I can say this, I didn't want to say this before, I did blind tail that Houston under. So I'll take some of my Houston winnings and throw it on to Oregon State.
There you go. Houston and Memphis goes under on a desperation 3 at the buzzer. More with Betting Across America presented by BetMGM from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. With basketball and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of all the best matchups. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to Betting Across America from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas. I'm Mike Center in downtown Detroit at the MGM Grand, just outside the BetMGM Sportsbook. James Salinas is in the Mile High City. And in Sin City, the sports gambling capital of the world, it's Adam Candy at the South Point. And Adam, get us up to date on what's happening in college basketball. It's a tight one in Iowa City.
There are some of us who are hoping it stays tight, goes to overtime, and helps us out with Iowa laying 6, as this game is knotted up at the moment at 71. Wisconsin has really come alive in the second half after trailing by double digits at the break. It will be, I believe, Wisconsin basketball here as we're in a timeout at the moment. Total was 142.5, so goodness, do we have a little bit in the balance here, depending on how things shake out, you are more than likely to see your under tickets die one way or the other. We have Northwestern and Nebraska, 39-30 at halftime. Northwestern with the lead in that contest. That'll be a sweat for anybody who decided to torture themselves on a Sunday. Cincinnati and East Carolina, Bearcats with a 5-point lead against the Pirates. That game, with about 11:20 remaining, Cincinnati went off as a 2-point favorite. That had moved towards Cincinnati here at close. We've gotten underway in the A-Sun Championship game with Liberty Flames taking on North Alabama. 24-15 Liberty advantage with 9 minutes remaining here in the first half. They are a live 16-point favorite, total 138.5. And we're underway in the Missouri Valley as well. Loyola Chicago 12, Drake 7. We are 13:32 remaining in the first half there. Loyola Chicago, a 9.5-point live favorite, 125.5, tracking the pregame total.
We talked about that Atlantic Sun title game yesterday, James, briefly, and we talked about the factor of handicapping, the fact that North Alabama cannot advance to the NCAA tournament because they are in their transition year from Division II to Division I. You wanted a number to do a better handicap. Liberty laying 13, up 11 right now. They are already in the NCAA tournament as the automatic qualifier because North Alabama cannot advance. Your take on that again today, now that we have a number to discuss at Liberty laying 13.
Yeah, and then once I started digging into the matchups here, it looked at it from, you know, when you get to this point and you have to have the title to get into the dance, there is no at-large bid for a conference like this. That's where sometimes the pressure comes on, and that was what makes it exciting at this point, where both teams know you have so much on the line to play for. Now it's a matter of you're just playing for, and I don't want to discredit this as a just, but they are playing for the conference title in name. So here I didn't make a play on this game here, Adam. Once I looked at it, it's kind of interesting. Liberty had swept North Alabama a couple weeks back, and identical scores of all things, 74-54, back-to-back games. So interesting from that standpoint, but as far as a betting standpoint go, no interest for me. I don't have a play.
It's a Liberty team that is projected as a 13 seed in the tournament, so quality side in Liberty. But like you said, James, this is not something I wanted to get involved with given the circumstances.
I'm surprised that the Atlantic Sun had not one but two teams in their tournament, their postseason tournament, to determine their at-large bid of the NCAA tournament, whether their automatic bid, not the at-large, but their automatic bid. Two teams making the transition and ineligible to play if they won the conference championship, the other one being Bellarmine out of Louisville, Kentucky. Liberty 26-18 in front of North Alabama, the Flames laying 13. English Premier League today, Pauly Howard gave you a best bet of under 3. It ended 1-0, and it wasn't how you thought it would end. Fulham with the 1-0 win over Liverpool, a tough year for Jurgen Klopp's team. We'll talk NBA All-Star Game and more college basketball when Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, continues on VSiN. Now's the time to start planning for your one shining moment as a college hoops bettor. Our experts analyzing every game and every conference this week so you can start cashing tickets before the big dance tips off. And when it comes to the madness, we've got everything you need, starting with live Selection Sunday coverage, giving you instant updates on the early lines and where the betting opportunities exist in the market. Once the teams are set, you'll get your bracket betting guide, including full betting details and trends for the teams, conferences, players, and matchups, so you can prepare your bracket and bets against the spread. During the tournament, we have full coverage and updated information available on air at vsin.com, so you never miss a line move or a betting opportunity. Sign up today and get access to everything VSIN has to offer now until they cut down the nets in Indianapolis. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to Betting Across America. Mike Sennett with James Salinas and Adam Candy. NBA All-Star Game coming up tonight at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a 4.5-point line, or some books, I believe it's 4, 4.5, 3.5. Team LeBron, the 3.5-point favorite. I don't think it really matters. 317.5 the total. Some bettors may find some opportunities in the skills challenge, a dunk contest, or the three-point contest. Zach LaVine jumped from plus 600 to plus 425, second behind Steph Curry in the three-point shooting contest. So there may be some plays there. I know that you, in particular, James Salinas, is not something that you would bet, but you could see maybe there's some opportunities here, especially for entertainment value only.
Yeah, and I think for LaVine, now that Booker has scratched himself out of there, Booker won it before, he won it a couple years ago. I think he's second last year. So he's been there and done that before. So now that he's out of the competition, yeah, anytime you're talking about three-point shooting contest or not, the first player you're going to think of is going to be Steph Curry. But for LaVine, he's really made a transition over his career. You know, when he came out, shooting was really not his – that wasn't his best he wasn't suited as a great shooter. He was the high flyer, right? He actually won the dunk championship, the dunk contest a couple years, his first couple years in the league, and really has transformed himself. Still a tremendous athlete and can jump out of the gym. But I think from the shooting standpoint now, really has worked on his game. So it's good to see when you have these young players come in that they are going to work hard. And some folks come in and they're pretty entitled as to what their skill set is. And others, they're going to be willing to work at it to get better. And I think LaVine, from that standpoint, absolutely, now that money is going on him, yeah, I don't think there's much value in taking a Curry at this point, even though it's so hard to go against them. The other thing that I think about, if you're going to bet the three-point contest, is it's kind of there's fatigue that sets in. So what does your jump shot look like? Is it more of a – I think it's somebody like a Spider Mitchell who really is just – you know, it's muscle memory, and he is one of those that gets a great lift off the floor when he shoots threes, because he kind of has to, just based on his being a little short of stature there at the guard position. So others, is it more of a kind of a set shot that they can shoot just based on their size? LaVine, pretty good size at 6'5". So I think he can do both. He is one that can rise on his jump shot, but also can shoot just as a set shot here. And I think that lends to being able to keep your stamina going, because you're shooting a lot of shots in a short amount of time. So I think there, Adam, I'm not going to bet it, but I think I understand the move is looking at LaVine, where the price is going down and you're not getting a good price now, especially with Booker being out.
Here is the sort of sharp information on the All-Star game. You can get it at adamcandy.com. Steph Curry has been in the three-point contest 6 times. He has won it once. Of those times, he did have Klay Thompson in there multiple times. Zach LaVine, the move from 6 down to 425. Our intrepid coordinating producer, comrade Kelly Bidlin, pulled some stats earlier this week that said Zach LaVine this year on wide open threes is hitting 51.5% of those shots. Steph Curry is under 40%. Now, I'm not using those stats to tell you that Steph Curry can't shoot the ball. I'm not using any stats to tell you Steph Curry can't shoot the ball. But I do understand why Zach LaVine's getting some attention.
Steph Curry, the plus 110 favorite there, NBA three-point contest. Some news for folks who are interested. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are both out of the three-point shooting, the NBA All-Star game, period. Contact tracing, COVID-19. It appears they shared the same barber, got their haircut before traveling to Atlanta for the All-Star game and its festivities. So they are out. Zion Williamson is in on Team Durant. He will start for Embiid. Ben Simmons, one of the reserves for Team LeBron, the 4.5-point favorite. Adam, are you going to bet the game, or are you going to bet the skills contest or anything tonight?
I'm not. I don't like to get involved in situations where I have no idea how motivated any particular person is. Like, this could be a situation where Steph Curry doesn't care about the three-point contest and Zach LaVine has been wanting to beat Steph Curry all his life. So, no, these are situations that I stay away from.
I'm not finding that in-depth information on AdamCandy.com. I've been looking.
That's the break, it's the subscriber site. I don't know why you're thinking you're going to get it for free.
I don't see.
I have the password.
I already sent the password to James. Thanks for his Houston play.
I'll be off air. I'll share the password with you. I'll let you.
Oh my God! How am I ever going to make any money?
Hey, it's team. I'm all team oriented here, Adam. So hey, but to your point, thinking about it now, you talked about he's been in it six times, only won it once. I think maybe that's part of it. You know, he's not a. I'm not going to say he's short by any means. What is he? 6'2", 6'3". But I think it's fatigue does set in these contests when you're shooting the ball, and because they have to race through getting these shots off. And I think for somebody like Curry, his muscle memory is. That I think for this, he will try to shoot more of a set shot. But, you know, when you're a smaller guard and you're trying to get your threes off the way that he does, you know, he is used to rising at the top of his jumper to release that shot. And I think that's where repetitive motion, rising to the level at the height of your jump shot each time to release the ball, fatigue could set in. So maybe that could be a reason and rationale as to why Steph Curry has only won the contest once.
NASCAR Cup Series in Las Vegas today. It is the Pennzoil 400 Quick Line. This is our NASCAR segment, by the way. I know JJ has been holding his breath for this one. Martin Truex Jr. 6-1. Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano +650. Danny Hamlin 9-1. Kyle Larson 10-1. Adam, this is a very big event in Las Vegas and a big betting event at the sports book. So you have a play on the NASCAR Cup race today.
No, I was just happy, Mike, that I was able to get a spot in the front row at the South Point on race day. That is very rare, but I saw folks wearing all of their favorite jerseys, walking through the parking lot, getting on the buses, getting ready to go, as this is one of the hubs for people to stay when they come for the race.
It is a big deal in Las Vegas, and Martin Truex Jr. is a 6-1 favorite. More to come. We'll talk NHL, get your final thoughts of college basketball and betting across America rolls on here on VSiN. Bet with confidence with a risk-free bet up to $600 at BetMGM. Simply sign up and use the bonus code VSIN600, and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the promo code VSIN600 to make a risk-free bet up to $600. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the MGM Grand in Detroit, James Salinas from Denver, and Adam Candy of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. And we have a final from Iowa City. Hawkeyes win, but do not cover the spread.
77-73. Let's say, just hypothetically, you had Iowa laying six. Luka Garza fouled right at the end, but they did not ultimately give them that foul. This end of the game took a good solid 15 minutes in the last minute with two separate reviews. The weird hook and hold rule got invoked. We had free throws at both ends. But in any case, the real story for Iowa here is the loss of Joe Wieskamp. We don't know exactly how hurt he is. It was a right ankle injury that he went down with in the first half. We saw Wisconsin with Wieskamp out make a run back into the game. But Iowa holds on at the end after getting out of a 71-all tie with a minute to go.
And James, Joe Wieskamp averaging 15 points, 6.8 rebounds a game. The junior from Muscatine, Iowa, a key component of that Iowa offense. Could be a big loss for Iowa if we look toward the postseason.
Yeah, well, and he just stepped on somebody's foot, so roll those ankles, and hopefully you're just keeping him out, just precautionary. There was no reason to come back. That was hence why I bet the live line the way that it did. Just seeing the coach, right? I think the kids, we're going to see this. Kids are going to, you step on the floor, they're going to want to compete in a game like this. But coaches have to be mindful of that, and that's where kind of looking at the rest of the schedule, we've kind of talked about that too. The incentive for not only the players but the coaches. I think if you would have asked, do you want to get out of this, if you had a choice, do you want to get a win in this game or get out of this game healthy, most of these coaches, knowing their standing going into the conference tournament as well as most likely the March, you know, our big dance coming up in a couple weeks, they would rather get out of this healthy. So very unfortunate situation. We'll see. The fortunate thing about college basketball players is they're young, they're flexible, they heal much faster than some of us older folks that tend to get banged up and get put on the shelf for a long time. So hopefully he's back and maybe rest the game or two, but they're going to have a bye in the conference tournament coming up, so hopefully nothing too bad. Get some good treatment, get back on the floor, and outside of seeing Nunji gone off the bench for the Hawkeyes, really rolling in with a lot of momentum and hopefully healthier come tournament time.
Houston knocked off Memphis 67-64, a game we were tracking here throughout the day. Boogie Ellis with a three to tie it at 64. It looked predestined to go to overtime, but on the inbounds play, Tremont Mark knocked down the game-winning off-balance three, 67-64. Houston, the number, it stays under the total of 135.5 and cashes the ticket for James in one of the more exciting moments we've had here on Betting Across America. The line was Houston 10, and they did not cover, but they do pick up the victory, and it stays under for you, James. And do you think Houston could get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I just think that their body of work, just based on the conference that they're playing in, not just you know the level of competition. I don't know how all those grade out, and I know there's lots of rankings and ratings that go into that process as well, and strength of schedule, those types of things. But as far as strength of the team, and really, I'm the eye test guy, right? I like to see these guys. I'll see much more off of outside of looking off a statistical sheet and watching them live or watching them on tape, really seeing that from a Houston standpoint here, pretty deep, very athletic. They have some length to them, and they're a deep team, but I like their guards. And you talk about some toughness out of their guards with Sasser and Grimes. Just these are guys that are going to go in, and probably I don't think they'll be a number one seed, and that'll be something that they'll use to their advantage. We kind of talked about that with Illinois, too. I don't know. Maybe since sports betting is live there in Illinois, those kids know what that point spread is, and that's why they carry that chip on their shoulder, knowing that they're going into these Big Ten games as these underdogs. I say that in jest, maybe half in jest and maybe half joking, that, yeah, this if you're looking for an edge, and kids are, and competitors are always looking for a reason why they want to compete and how to get after it. If there's an extra edge and extra motivation to find it, maybe that's a team like the Cougars. I like them. I think they're going to be a tough out in the tournament. I don't think they'll be a number one seed, Adam. But as far as the tournament is concerned, I think they're going to be a tough out just based on the guard play, the depth that they have off the bench, their length, and that competitive edge that I think they're going to bring in to each round of the tournament.
I think it's fair to say Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan have those number one seeds pretty well locked up. And if you're going to say that, then you also look at Illinois having gone on the road to Michigan and on the road to Ohio State in the past week and won, and say, I don't know how you take Illinois out of a number one seed either. So Houston comes from a conference in which, you know, they are clearly the class of it. I think Wichita State's a good side. Memphis obviously put up a representative effort today, but overall, I just don't think Houston is going to have the juice to get that number one seed.
Washington Capitals forward Tom Wilson suspended 7 games for boarding a Boston defenseman, Brandon Carlo. He will not be available today. Capitals and Flyers, both minus 110 on the money line. I have not seen any movement in that line since that announcement. 6 over the total. A couple of plays today from Adam Candy, however. Adam, you're looking at the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina laying $1.40. At Calgary, $1.65 home ice favorite against the Ottawa Senators. My goodness, they should be relegated there, the AHL perhaps. Their goal differential, negative 32. Let's hear your hockey plays for today, Adam.
I will skip the sides and play the totals today. Really loved in terms of sides. I would have played the Islanders at a better price, but, I mean, Buffalo has gone into tank mode, and the Isles win that game 5-2 earlier today. Opened at 190, got as big as 230 in favor of the Islanders at one point. Buffalo might well be the worst team in the NHL here at the moment. But to the games that you mentioned, Mike, Panthers and Hurricanes, there was a rogue 5.5 still sitting on the board this morning with sixes just about everywhere else. I played that over, paid 25 to do that, but these two teams are both quality sides who have been driving play very well over the last 10 games. I believe that this is going to be a game that is going to feature both teams early on being able to get some offense going as well. The other play I have is an under, actually in that Senators Flames game. I don't know why I wrote under. It's an over. I wrote under on my sheet, and I know for a fact that I played the over in this game. The Senators and the Flames have played 4 times in the past 10 games. They have scored a minimum of 7 goals combined in all of those games. As you just mentioned, the Senators are a team that gives up plenty of goal-scoring chances. The Flames just went through a coaching change. They're struggling as well, so I have the over 6 in that one.
Adam Candy over 5.5 in the Carolina-Florida matchup. Carolina has won 4 consecutive games. They are plus 19 goal differential. Minus 140 on the money line. And in the Ottawa-Calgary game, Adam likes the over 6 there. And Ottawa plus 145. Quick NBA stuff, guys. I'm not the all-star game, but a couple. I'm going to give you 3 teams. James, and I'm interested to see your thoughts on them. The New York Knicks, a surprise in the first half of the season, getting it done defensively, although Jonathan Von Tobel this week said, watch out for the Knicks because their underlying metrics defensively, they can't sustain that sort of pace. Second best defense in the NBA in the second half of the season. Also, Utah and Phoenix are the 3 teams I'd like to say. Who do you think has a chance to make the playoffs, and who could actually come away with a division title there? Is Phoenix for real? They're a surprise as well. They head into the break first place in the Pacific Division. James.
Well, there's when I look at teams, I look at coaches first. I handicap coaches a lot too, and we talked about this before the NBA season started. Phoenix, as well as the Bulls, I like Donovan at Chicago. A lot more work to do there, a young team with Billy Donovan. He's a great basketball teacher, and I think he's got a group of kids that are going to buy in and get better as the season progresses. But as far as like the Suns, Monty Williams is another coach that I really like. He really established it last year. Especially in that bubble, we saw how well the Suns played. I was establishing a culture there, and Williams is somebody that is immensely respected across the league. So then the addition of Chris Paul, really that leadership aspect, playmaking ability for sure, and he's definitely getting older, and you know his better days are a bit behind him, but he's not he definitely hasn't fallen off the cliff as far as his ability to compete. But I think really bringing being able to coexist there with Devin Booker in that backcourt and the leadership and the experience that Chris Paul brings, I think, is along with Monty Williams and what he's done with that young team. I like them. I like what they've been able to do. They working through it through January. February was a great month for them as far as being able to win that division. I mean, they're ahead of the Lakers right now, and we know Anthony Davis is banged up within that Pacific for the Lakers in that Pacific division. And how many games is LeBron James going to be able to continue to carry the Lakers through the second half of the season? I think there's going to be some opt-out or rest days. So I like the Suns' chances to win the Pacific Division.
For Adam Candy, James Salinas, I'm Mike Sennett. This has been Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. The Green Zone is next here on VSiN.